Mike Bisaglia here from SeavillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to RunCast, a weekly forum of everything running, with your host Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
All right, hello everyone, and welcome to this week's quick edition of RunCast. We're going to be doing this over the line here because Mike and I had a little bit of a scheduling hurdles yesterday to kind of try and overcome. So we're doing this quick over the line. We're really glad you tuned in. It's a big week in the running world of Central Virginia, the granddaddy of them all. The oldest foot race in Central Virginia is Saturday morning, March 31st, this Saturday. Of course, we're talking about the Shultzville 10-miler. Probably the most revered, prestigious foot race. It's the first one that was to have that ran into the city with the streets closed. That happened back in the early 80s, and for many years it was by far the largest race. Of course, now it's the woman's 4-miler, but it's not far behind. And for many years, it was the longest distance that we had in Central Virginia for a foot race. Of course, we now have a couple of half marathons and a marathon, but it's still kind of the recreational runner, the newer runner, or the runner who just doesn't have aspirations to ever do a marathon. It's that kind of poor man's marathon event. And so for a lot of folks, myself included, it's when I used to race, it was pretty much the biggest deal in my running life was the Shultzville 10-miler. And just, a couple of notes for folks for Saturday morning. It's going to be about 54, so dress for that temperature. That's going to be at the gun, thereabouts. Don't forget the 15-degree warm-up rule, so you want to have price shorts and a short-sleeve shirt on. At worst, have a long-sleeve shirt that you can peel off. And, of course, if the sun comes out, you want to pour water on your head at the water stops and drink at every stop. Biggest bit of advice, people get tired of hearing it, but I wrote a column for The Progress, and it's in my Daily Run blog. If you go to the Progress website, you can find it. There's a lot more detail there, but I just... cannot, Mike, of course, you're so familiar with this, but I reiterate over and over again, an event this long, this hilly, that right. It just totally benefits you to go out there a little slower. And then to compound that scenario is the fact that the hilliest back-to-back miles, the two hilliest back-to-back miles are actually the first 2 miles. So
right.
The worst thing you can do is try, okay, I'm shooting for 9:30 pace, I'm going to run the first mile at 9:30 and the second one at 9:30 again. And, of course, if you have that game plan, then what will end up happening with the adrenaline flow and the fact that you've got so many people around you to kind of pull you along, you'll probably run 8:55 for the first mile and 9:05 for the second one, and now you don't realize it then, but you're through for the day because at about mile 7, you're struggling to run 10-minute and then 11-minute miles, and you drag in and having missed your goal. So, perception of effort says that you want to feel the perceived effort of the terrain and your pace. You don't want to actually run the pace. So on uphills for that 9:30 person, they would go slower, downhills faster, and then on the flatter areas, you'd try and hit 9:30. So it just cannot be said enough. It doesn't matter how competitive you are, how fast you are, to be careful going out too quickly because it's subtle, sneaky. The first half mile, Mike, you know it well. You've run the race and you're
sure.
Running again. You don't. If you were just to go over right now and stand over at the track, or stand up on that Morgan Harrington Bridge there at Copley, the Alderman Copley, right near the U-Haul, if you stood there and looked back down towards the start, which, of course, is between JPJ and U-Haul, you'd say, wow, that's a long uphill, uphill to this point. Well, that's about the half-mile mark. It's shy by a couple hundred yards there, but it's all uphill, and of course, when you're in the race, you don't feel it at all. But you're working, your body's working, but you don't feel the effects of that till later on. So, very, very important to stay on top of that first 2 miles to manage it. At Shultzville Track Club is really proud of this event. They've got volunteers all over the course, and of course, Mike Inge, the race director, he and his committee are can't wait to treat everyone to this event. We have about 750 new runners to the 10-miler this year. Many of them were in the Shultzville 10-miler training program, and then this advice that I've just given is even more important for them because first race like this, a lot of times the mistakes are even that much more punishing, the results of the mistakes. So I'm looking at some of my other tips here. I think, again, the POE is a really good one, taking water early and often. And then a big part of the race that goes kind of untalked about is the post-race recovery.
Yeah.
You want to cool down for about a half a mile afterwards. And this is, most folks do not do this. They go straight into the award ceremony. They start hanging out. And this is why a lot of people are so stiff the next day. So a nice half mile, three-quarter mile, or a mile cool-down jog, depending on how far your long run was coming in. If you're a person that's done 15 miles, if you're a long run coming in, you can easily afford to go a mile or two as a cool-down afterwards. But anyway, do the cool-down, then come back, have a banana, Clif Bar, some chocolate milk, Gatorade, whatever, but get something in your system right away. Then when you get home that night, continue to hydrate and ice. Some folks go as far as taking an ice bath, but ice, stretch, roll, that type of regimen. And then the big thing, and I posted this, it's on the, should be on the Track Club's website. If not, it's certainly in the 10 Miler Training Program website. I posted a 4-week recovery plan, depending on which program you were in the 10 Miler Training Program. Program 1, 2, and 3, those are the novices, 4, 5, and 6, folks that are pretty experienced runners. And you could go to that, Mike, and it gives you a good 4-week recovery plan to kind of mentally and physically get your body refreshed again. And big mistake folks make is they right away on Monday they'll do 3 or 4 miles, and before you know it they're either running long next weekend again, which will be April 7th, or in the case of some folks, heavens to Betsy, they're racing again the following weekend, and that's just ingredients for disaster. A 10-mile race takes several weeks for your body to heal up, and again, both physically and mentally. So that following a good recovery plan feeds into your next phase of your training. You know, a good fit 10-miler, if they recover properly, can enjoy a good spring of racing in late April, early May, into June. And then if they're thinking about a half marathon or marathon for the fall, then they can begin their base building in June and July, and then getting in August, start their heavy training again. So many of the injuries that I see, so many of the injuries that our physical therapists and doctors locally see are tied into people not recovering properly. They do all the right things training, they do all the right things racing, and then they let things kind of fall apart in the weeks afterwards. Even if you're quote-unquote feeling good, Mike, you got to make
right.
sure that you recover properly. And what bothers me a little bit is that some folks, the lack of reverence for this distance. Oh, you know, it's only 10 miles. I've run marathons before. I've run half marathons. This is a hilly
yes.
course on blacktop. It's going to beat the bejeebies out of you. That's why my Boston Marathon folks, they do this as a training run, a very, very, very tightly controlled training run, where they run the first 4 or 5 miles, say, at marathon pace, and then the last 5 at a cut-down pace.
Right.
But because they all want to participate. Everyone wants to participate. Anybody that's used to racing doesn't want to miss this event. So they say,
exactly.
All right, you're doing the Boston Marathon. That's on April 16th. It's 16, 17 days away. Okay, I'll as your coach, I'll let you do this, but let's do it properly. So
exactly.
that they go into that marathon feeling refreshed. If they race the 10-mile, forget about the Boston Marathon being a productive event for them. So.
Right.
We had just a fantastic, well, a couple of things. The race is going to be covered live on WINA, starting at 7 o'clock, I believe, or a little bit before 7. We have a wheelchair participant this year, very cool.
Oh, wow.
University hospital employee, young man, and I forget the guy's name, but we will sure know his name after the event on site, because this is really a special thing. We're excited to have him
That's
participate.
Great.
And then all the results will be posted and with an article in the Daily Progress, actually in the physical newspaper. Some of you folks that aren't used to buying a newspaper, it might be a cool thing to do to pick up on Sunday. The Daily Progress, support those guys. Had a great weekend last weekend, Mike, with the McCormick Mile, kicking the day off. It was pouring rain, but didn't matter. And we had 60 folks finish the race, a 1-mile fast course through grounds with the road closed. Oh, gosh, it was so neat. And we had Mike Smeda run 4:15 and Rachel Ward, her second win in a row. 2 weekends in a row, she ran 4:42. We had a great field of folks, a lot of excellent age group runners. Andrea Wright, an excellent time. Harry Landers, Heidi Johnson, could go on and on. At some of the Dan Murray had some fantastic performances out there. So that was a lot of fun. And then following that, we had the Zeta run the Run for Life, about 1,000 kids. I call them kids. The lot of UVA students out of bed, ready to roll on this, and it was really a fun day out there with them. Good fundraiser for the Breast Care Center over at the university. And then after that, was up to Lanigan Field for the debut, the kickoff, the ribbon cutting, so to speak, of the brand new facility. Gosh, that was a really fun day to be there, a historic day. And Mike, it was so cool to see, you know, the three facilities were humming. You had Davenport, pretty packed stands for the Clemson baseball game, and going on at the same time that UVA's playing Johns Hopkins in lacrosse at Klockner, packed stadiums to the gills. And then here we were, finally, we've arrived, our own beautiful facility, and I say our own because I think of our sport. Lanigan Field, Coach Fetzer, and his boys and girls, men and women, excuse me, I want to call them boys and girls, they're so much younger than me, and they're out there competing at this beautiful facility. It was such a neat sight, and it's got that beautiful new entranceway that ties all three facilities together. I doubt there's an athletic complex at a college level prettier than that setting, and as magnificent as we have these. We have one of the nicest tracks in the conference now. We have certainly one of the best baseball stadiums in the conference and one of the best lacrosse soccer field hockey venues in the stadium in the conference. So it's a really neat day, and the men and women had great days, great performances out there, and great to see Catherine White back, great to see Lance Roller in his event in the 800. For me, getting to see a lot of these guys live, because I talk about them so much, but of course they're on the road, and it was really fun to see them all live there. And then the big drama of the day, it was so exciting, Mike. The men were down to Army most of the day, West Point, UVA, nipping at their heels, and then all of a sudden Army pulled away in the last few events, and they were up by about 27 points at the end. Last event of the day, UVA's down, second place, 27 points back, and they had the men's 1500, the last event, and we went 1, 2, 3, and 4, swept, and catapulted into first place by 1 point, and it was a great race. There are photos on our Facebook site. I think UVA's got some of the photos.
Yeah,
Taylor Gillen ran a courageous, fantastic race after the rabbit dropped. He continued to power along and led the race all the way to the final straightaway, all the way down the straightaway, down almost to the finish line. He got nipped right at the wire by 1/100th of a second by his teammate, former Albemarle great Anthony Kostelecker. It was such an excellent race, and my daughter Audrey actually was in the stands and took a great photo of them crossing the finish line with the clock there and everything. Very neat. And then Brett Johnson was third, and then Kyle King, running the fourth fastest time ever run by a freshman outdoors, was fourth. And it was an exciting night, and it's such a beautiful backdrop there too, Mike. You know, although you're facing out onto the baseball field when you're over there calling the baseball games, but I was announcing the meet for Virginia in a tent that looked up at Lewis Mountain. And, of course, you know, it's all splashed with green now, and it's just a special day. So,
well, you'll like this, Mark. Yesterday, Derek Fisher for Virginia, he hit a ball over the right field bleachers. I think that ball landed on the track somewhere.
Was that the did he do it? Was it a grand slam?
It was a grand slam, and it went over the bleachers, and I thought to myself, good thing nobody's running right now.
Well, isn't that something? Yeah, yeah. I mean, really, they may need to put a net up there.
They got
a new bat. That's a new bat there, so to speak. Pushing the limit. So, anyway, we've got some neat stories of note locally. Scott Riddler, who I had an opportunity to coach last summer, he was diagnosed with cancer in the middle part of the summer. And he derailed his training, obviously. He's fought it, and he looks like he's beaten it.
Wow.
He went down and ran Shamrock last week, the half marathon, 1:34, Mike, which is such an impressive time for a guy who's relatively new to this sport. Let me look it up on my chart. That's approximately just a little faster than 7:15 pace per mile.
So great.
Congrats to him. Great to have him back. And then some of the cool side stories with the 10-miler, of course, are so many little challenges among people. So many. Everybody's got a story to tell, Mike. You know, you have your own personal story. Like to beat last year's time. You know, of course, you're running with your buddies from the Charlottesville Radio Group. You know, you got kind of an office thing going. It's just,
sure.
I love it. There's age group stories. We've got a young man who comes in to work here. He brings one of the autistic students from VIA, from Virginia Institute of Autism, and brings him into work a couple days a week. And he and his fiance have been talking serious smack with each other. She was telling me recently that he just thinks he's so cool, he's going to beat me out there. She goes, I am just going to have to really drop some knowledge on him and beat the heck out of him. And so there's all this chatter going on like that. It's great. And, of course, it's all for a lot of fun for folks to have an arena that's that competitive that they can you know, feel pretty special out there.
Very cool.
I think it has its own personal definition for everyone. So, all right, I think... that's about it. Normally there's a lot of events to talk about coming up, but of course with the 10 miler, that is the happening event.
And Mark, I just want to say this. I look forward to the 10 miler. It has the same feeling in my stomach when I was like in middle school and I would get up for my basketball games in the midweek and I would just get so excited and I had that excitement feeling. And it's very similar to what I felt when I was 14 years old playing basketball, getting excited, that I'll be feeling Saturday morning.
That's exactly right, Mike. I think, Mike, what I'm going to do, and we can tell folks this right live here, that I'm going to email to you that template of that recovery mileage, and then I'm also going to email you some of the tips I wrote up, that link. So
perfect.
I'll get that to you, Mike, and then maybe you can post it on the podcast site. We'll talk about that after we go off air here. So
sounds
thanks,
good.
Everyone. All the best to everyone out there this week, and whether you're running or volunteering or cheering, it really is a special Charlottesville community event, and we're grateful for this track club and hosting it, and we wish Mike and his team of folks all the best.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at RaggedMountainRunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.